I didn't bring any reprints with me, but I still would like you to know about my coworkers. The ones which are underlined are students, so they are the one which actually did the work. And the ones which are in red, they are students which already are now professors, so they made it. And if you want to see the papers, they are many of them, or at least one can start to look on my internet page and then. And of course, you can ask me directly. So, I would like to define a very simple model. And my physicist colleagues, they actually probably would understand it without the lecture. So please, the biologists, just interrupt me. Just don't let me go on. If I lose you, then it's useless that I speak. So please, don't let me go on unless you understand. With the exceptions when I will say this, you don't have to understand. I think that there are some people, they will understand, the physicists will understand even the things which I say that you don't have to understand. So, let's consider a very simple model, a caricature. I don't apologize so much for this being too simple, because I want it to be too simple. I want to isolate something non-trivial coming from something trivial. So suppose that you have some space. I took it two-dimensional and I took it as a lattice, but it doesn't have to be a lattice. It can be a continuum space. I emphasize it because most of the effects I want to describe today, they are related with discreteness, but with the discreteness of the agents, if you want, not with the discreteness of the space. And these agents, they are of two types. The type A is really terribly simple. He can jump between neighboring sites with a certain probability. And the same probability up, down, left, and right. And
Not diagonally.
But again, most of what I'm saying it can be enlarged terribly. I'm actually trying to make it as simple as possible. So the rule of the game at the beginning should be that let's be as simple as possible and see if something non-simple comes out. After that, of course, if we want to make contact with reality, we have to make things more complicated. So this is the dynamics of the A's. There was some popular article about our article. In that article, these guys were called angels and the other ones were called mortals. But you can think about the A's as, for instance, for this lecture where there are people interested in the genomic space, you can think about the space as the genomic space and about the A's as certain niches of opportunity where there is an A, there is something to exploit and you can live there. And when there is not an A, then whoever has that genome would be in bad shape. That is the way you can think about it. There are other interpretations. Again, I want to make things simpler, not to tell you the entire things which can be. But you also can think in terms of real space, in which the space would be a real space and A would be some resource which can be exploited by the bees. The bees are essentially animals, and they can also jump from one place to another. If it is in real space, of course, it's just moving from one place to another. If it's in genomic space, it's essentially a mutation. And again, with certain probability, and the bees can do two more things. One good and one bad. They can die, as opposed to the A's, which for the moment, at least for quite a while in the lecture, they will not die. So bees can die with a certain probability. And whenever they are on the same site with an A, as I promised, they can multiply with a certain probability rate, lambda. So now, For just fixing in the mind what they are doing, I'm writing these partial differential equations. But in fact, the entire point of this lecture is that these equations are a lie, that these equations are not describing at all the system which I described until now. It just helps for some of us, for maybe there are not many chemists around, but the chemists write this kind of equations, rate equations, and then the variation of A would be the diffusion coefficient times the Laplacian. And the B would be, again, this Laplacian. Are there people which don't know what is a Laplacian? Because they don't have to know. I'm emphasizing this because, you know, somebody can say, oh, OK, this speaks about Laplacian, there is nothing to discuss anymore. Laplacian essentially is it expresses this the fact that if you have a certain density of A in some place, they will start diffusing around, and the dynamics of the system, the dynamics of the A, would be to get uniform. And in fact, this is what I'm saying here, that A is going to, towards a uniform. Even if I put all the A's on one side, after some while, since they keep jumping, there will be a, as uniform as you want density. This is what the Laplacian does. The other terms are quite obvious. Are they for you? You see, if I have a certain density of B at certain place, then because there is death, there will be some decrease in the density. And because there is, if there are A's, there will be lambda A times B. More A are there, more births of B's will be, and more B's are there, more births will be. So the variation of B is proportional to lambda AB. Okay? So if you assume that A already went to a constant, then B essentially will go like an exponential. This you follow? And if lambda A is smaller than mu, this exponential will be negative, and the entire thing will die. This is what these equations are saying. And they are lying to you. This is, these equations are not faithfully describing this this system. And this is exactly the point. So if you never knew partial differential equations, this is not the right time to learn them.
It would help me if we had a little bit more motivation about what A and B are. Because
yes. As I said,
can you think of them as being plants or animals eating the plants or something?
Like that is true, but suppose that it's more like in the Lin Chao lecture. If you want to speak in the genomic space, then this will be the kind of amoebas which you give to eat to the virons. The A's are the presence of AA, it means that among the food, the things which you put on the plate, there is a type of amoeba which is eatable by somebody which has this genome.
Yeah. So then the A isn't killed.
No, in this particular case, you renew it. Don't worry, as I told you, there will be killing, there will be a lot of blood flowing, but not now. Okay? You also can think this as just a model of the fact that there is some landscape, but I don't like to stick myself to a landscape because this already have all these connotations which I'm not so sure they are good. For instance, I don't want to have big mountains of fitness. For that, there are enough papers which show that if you have big mountains of fitness, you will have speciation. This is not what I want to show here.
Yes. The equations don't describe this model because the model is discrete.
Yes. The point is that, and it is not that, you know, sometimes because of discreteness, there is here and there some corrections which mathematicians make perturbations in one over the, no, this is not it. This is the difference between death and life. You see, this model, as I described, for lambda A, smaller than mu describes a situation in which everybody dies. And I'm going to show that at least in some conditions everybody lives. For instance, in the interpretation in which this is real space and A are some plants which grow, there are plenty of them, and B are some animals, then in two dimensions B always succeeds even if you give them the hardest times in the world.
You didn't say A is the population, it's an integer, or it's a fraction?
It's an integer right now.
Also, it's an integer. Which
it's an integer. You.
So that it can be zero.
It can be zero, of course. Most of the time will. Okay. So I'm happy you asked this question, because if there is no more, as you said, if there is no more motivation, then we'll not go on. Okay. So as I said, at least there are a few things here. First of all, there is a very large set of parameters for this, which this equation is wrong, but in particular in two dimensions, that equation is always wrong. The b's are always going to infinity. And on top of this, we are getting something very nice, that in place of having, you know, a uniform thing or something which goes uniformly to zero, we'll have the population increasing and in a very specific way. In a way in which there are islands forming spontaneously, there are disconnected islands in which B grow, and in a sea in which indeed bees are dead, as you would have expected.
But we know that if you have a variable which is discrete, you're not supposed to represent it by a differential equation. That's not
well.
You need to have some continuity in the variable if you want to represent it by a.
Yes, the claim of the chemist which we write these equations is that if you look at the equations, if you take these squares big enough, and if there are big enough many numbers, then you can express. In fact, this is what I wrote here. I'm sorry. A here is not the same like A here. A there was a guy. This is the density, of population.
So
yes. What do you mean by normalized?
I think the notation is very confusing. A is really.
This is rho of A.
Yeah.
This is rho of A. It is.
Rho of A.
Yeah, but it's not normalized to one anything. It's essentially how many people per capita you have here. You can have a map of the United States with the population of people around and having some continuous function which characterizes. This is how it is done. Again, I don't want to defend too much the continuum thing, because in fact I believe it is not true. But by the way, you are a field theorist, I think, yes? For field theorist, for a field, the real point is you'll see that the thing which is the catch here is the fact that the microscopic discreteness of the A's induces microscopic fluctuations at the smallest scale, what you would call ultraviolet fluctuations, which bring you to a completely different regime than what you would expect from having to do with continuum functions. So it is a discreteness of A, but not in the from the point of view that now I have an integer, I cannot take a derivative, but from the point of view that okay.
But then it's very similar to the work of
Oh, certainly. Except that they, in their case, the discreteness is governing how you achieve a certain regime. But the regime is more or less the same. Here we are speaking about a situation in which the discreteness brings you to an explosion of population, while the continuum brings you to zero. So. Say it again?
It's relevance of fluctuation something which is important. It may not be discrete. We don't care what we care about, the fluctuations are relevant.
Yes, yes. From the dynamical.
Discrete or whatever it is, not.
In a sense, you can say that. But again, I prefer to stick to very simple words, because saying all this between us will not help making. Look, he's sleeping already. Because we started to speak field theory. So where did I leave you? Because I would like you to be my anchor to this. So the point is not only that you get this dramatic effect of things which we know from field theory from the 50s. I think there is an article by Luca in which he discovered that this kind of techniques are discovered in every 10 years by a graduate student and then forget again. And he wrote a review such that he would stop this, but life is stronger than him and people keep... keep rediscovering it. So the point is not that we invented some new technique. No, the point is that here you have a very dramatic realization of things which this technique can help us to uncover. And moreover, the way this happens, this doesn't happen by, you know, everybody going up or things like that. You get certain islands which have adaptive properties. These bees are as stupid as they can be. They don't know their right from their left. They can jump left or right with equal probabilities. The islands of bees, which I will show to you emerging, they have very adaptive properties. And this is, in fact, why they keep living. So, okay. So let me I will give back the time which we stolen from the biologist, because I'm starting with a very simple round of arguments, which is at some level wrong, and then we'll correct them and we'll progress towards really understanding the mechanism in place of showing for an entire hour the Feynman diagrams. But you will not sleep. You will sit there and want to explode that I'm saying such simple things. So I prefer that than he sleeps again. So let me explain to people which don't know anything about partial differential.
I thought you were saying Laplace, which I know nothing about. I didn't understand your vocabulary.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, Laplacian is this triangle. So the point is that actually, what does it mean, for instance, that the average value of A is 1 over 4? Because you remember, we had to compare lambda A with mu. So if I have an average of R of A, which is 1 over 4, and the mu, which is half, and the lambda, which is 1, then I would have 1 quarter minus 1 half negative. Everybody dies. But this is not true, because what does it mean that A is 1 over 4? It means that if I, again, discretize the space, which I don't have to, suppose I have 16 little places in my space, 4 of them will be occupied and 12 of them not. Now, in the guys which are 12, this formula, which says that the variation in B at each time step, it's proportional to the product of A's and B on that side minus mu B, will give that B, suppose I start with some value, would be updated with 0, which is the number of A's on that side, on, let's say, side 16, there is 0 A, minus half mu B, minus half b actually, and each time step I'm dividing the population by half. So indeed everybody goes to zero on that side. After some time it's finished, because b is discrete too. So by the time you go to 1b, the next time would be with probability half that you are left with nothing. Yes, but what happened now? So of course, very fast you get to zero. However, suppose that I'm looking at this side where there is an A on it. Then the new value of B will be the old value of B plus A, which is 1, minus mu, which is half, times the old value of B, which is half, and plus 1 from here is 3 halves. So it increases. And each time tick, there is 3 to something. So 3 over 2 to, if I wait enough, let's say 20 steps, it's already a very big number. I don't remember what it is. But then you can compute the entire population of B, which is 1 over 16, because it's 1 over the volume, and the volume was 16 places, plus 4. I forget about the other 12. The other 12 went to 0. I don't need them. So it's 4 times 3 to, over 2 to the 20 times the initial value of B, which is about 100 times the initial B. So not only it didn't go to 0, it went 100 times bigger. And if I wait enough, they will be even bigger. So this is a mechanism on 1 foot, one would say. Nice. No, yes. The real pro. Okay. But so, look, then I have to please forgive me that I accuse you of sleeping, because apparently you follow very well when you are sleeping. So the fact that B diffuses is not so bad, but A is diffusing. So I'm saying, okay, if A stays there, of course the population of B exponentiates. But once A goes one step next, all these Bs which were there now are left without a parent. They start decaying exponentially, and everything gets finished, and I'm finished. But as I forgot your name.
Yeah.
Trust me, I care. Now it will be immortalized on the internet if you tell me. As he said, the bees are diffusing too, but this is works in my advantage. You see, sometimes life is not so bad, because it's true that I lost them all the time that I was going increasingly exponential. Here I said, oh, too bad, I'm losing some bees because of diffusion. But now it's good for me, because once A goes next, he finds there some bees. The bees in the original site are dying, but the ones here start growing. So now, in spite of the fact that the bees are the stupidest thing in the world, as A starts moving around, there is a cloud of bees coming after him. You see, each individual bee, it's a very stupid thing, but all the bees together are a pretty adaptive, clever animal, which is going, or a species, or you'll see. We will have to decide what is this. So indeed, this is what happened when you have just one single A, which means that I still need that lambda is bigger than mu. But lambda A is it's essentially zero, because there is one A in the entire universe. The density of A is zero, basically. And still, you see, this is time and this is space, and A is jumping around. And this is the island of bees, which, as you see, it's increasing and getting wider. And of course, if you look at the value of the bees exactly at the place where A is, each time that A jumps, it loses some factor. This is a logarithmic scale, so it's a big factor. But still, the exponential in between, of course, it's large enough to compensate for that. So the bee population lives forever with the condition that they nicely follow the A.
What happens if there's only a finite number of bees to be allowed in one site?
Okay, maybe I will get to it. As I told you, I will tell you that too. By the way, this is a real problem. Because when you do the Feynman diagram, I don't want to tell you. The Feynman diagrams are much more numerous, and you don't want to know that. I had two students doing the same computation. There were always mutations in one of them, so they had to do about 5 times until they got the same result. So now. Let's. You should have asked me what happens if lambda is smaller than smaller than mu. Yes, but it's important. I promise to you that whatever lambda is, even if it is close to zero, that in two dimension at least things will still go to infinity. But this argument.
Infinite space, right?
Yes. But in this argument which I gave before in the single A approximation, this is not true. I need that when there is one A there, lambda times one will be bigger than mu. So, but what happens? Let's for the moment consider a fixed A. Now for fixed A in the infinite space, as our unknown friend is, then there is always, with a very, very small probability, that there is an arbitrarily large number of A someplace. So essentially, if lambda is 100 times smaller than mu, then all I have to do is just to go to a large enough space in which, if I just throw the A's randomly in a uniform, with uniform probability on the territory, there is still a certain probability. You know, the Gaussians have tails, very, very small tails. But in this case, the largest occupation number is what dominates. So in fact, in infinite volume, you get the number of B growing faster than any exponential. And in fact, if you compute it, they explode in finite time.
But how does it be defined, this accumulation of A's? I mean, actually, these A's all hop on top of each other.
No, but again, for the moment, yes, that's true. In the meantime, I just give the argument for fixed A, and especially because in some of the talks last week, there were situations which were very similar with that. And it's quite important to understand that if the A's are fixed, I'm throwing them randomly with equal probability, flat probability over the entire space, you'd expect. And it's still, even though I do all my experimental and theoretical efforts to ensure that the probability with which I throw them is completely uniform, there is still a hell of a probability that there will be 10,000 million on one side. And it's a problem only how big is my space.
But the point is, fixed A is equivalent, it's approximately the same as A is moving very slowly. And I think Barbara's point is, if the A's move much faster than B.
Okay.
B's would not
catch up. Okay. So this is why people still need the field theorist, because in the end the answer to all these questions will be field theory. But in the meantime, I'm giving you just the example of in which A are moving. The average A is 0.05, very, very small. Lambda is 10, mu is 6. These are, in fact, different values, as you see.
B is moving like 20 times faster than A.
Yes.
But A is beyond the other limit in which A is moving much faster.
Except, okay. So this is the right moment to you see, now I have my excuse. Why did I torture my students and let them compute a lot of diagrams and read the papers of Luca, and I think that also some papers by Bernard and there even their names and Grasberger too. Yes, he was the second generation, I think. So let me show to you what we are doing here. The parameter m, it's like is this exponent mu minus lambda a. It's actually minus the thing which appears in, which multiplies time in the exponential, you remember. And this is lambda. And in the naive way, in this parameter space, everything which is in the lower plane is life, because the exponential is positive. Everything which has parameters in the upper plane naively will lead to death. However, in theory, we know how to relate the dynamics. If we want to understand the dynamics in which all the B are moving and all the A are moving and with various D, then you can take the different actually, yes. It's only there are some which appears in the diagram, so in the first order. So the point is that there is a way to connect the effective behavior of the system for a large. Why are you smiling? There is a way to to connect the behavior. No, because this is in place of a very long computation. So there is a way to connect the behavior of the system for a certain set of microscopic parameters with the behavior of the system at larger scale and having essentially have the same dynamics but with changed parameters. So essentially these lines are telling me how the dynamics of the system is works when I'm looking at the dynamics of larger squares on my in my system. So if I have wherever I start except this line which is exactly lambda equals zero, these lines are going initially are going in the direction of death, but eventually if I go to enough large scales they end up in the lower plane which is life. So essentially this means that in at least in two dimensions where this computation is done, if I have a large enough system then essentially this system is always leading to life and there is no region of death. In higher dimensions, I'm not forbidding now taking derivatives for everything. They are continuum equations, but for something very different than the definite effort. So you are right. You still have to know differential equations. Cannot escape them.
So the statement is that these renormalization group flow diagrams are independent of dA and dB.
Yes, there is an anomaly. Now I remember the computation. In the first order, the what counts is dA plus dB, the average of them. And they checked it a few times in the computations.
So I find that very surprising.
Yes, me too.
Suppose I start with a few A's and also a few B's. And the A's move 1,000 times faster than the B's.
Yes, yes.
So, when I start in a big space, the A's are unless by chance an A comes to where the B
yes.
B would not run, they would be just quickly down.
Yes, the intuitions about two dimensions are rather misleading, this kind of things, because they have to do with this finite, two dimension is a very special case, and you will see that data from nature shows the same thing. There is a finite probability when you walk in two dimension to cross your own path, while in a higher dimension this would happen with the probability zero. Right. This is why if you start with a very large mountain of A in some place, they will keep returning to that place for a long enough while to allow the bees to adapt to the situation. The large accumulation of A will not disperse.
No, but each individual A can return to the same place.
Yes.
Return at different times. So if you start.
No. With oh, well, this is a.
It makes sense to start thinking what happens on the line, right?
Yes. On a line, the effect is even more powerful. I mean, two dimension is the critical dimension where this happens. In a line...
But a non-trivial statement is that two dimensions is more similar to one than to three.
Yes, okay. In a very dramatic way. But even in higher dimensions, here...
Can you just say a word how you calculate this flow diagram?
Yes. Essentially, what you do, and again, I have to apologize to Lucas that I speak in front of him of this. He should be the one to describe the technique. Essentially, you are working with the probability distributions on each side. The probability of having NA and MBs on that side. And then the rules of jumping are telling you how do you go from this probability, from an arbitrary probability distribution to another one. And this is essentially an operator which you interpret it as the Hamiltonian and then all the cranking, and you interpret the equation as the Schrodinger equation. So in higher dimensions, death still has some domain, which is in fact related with the D's. There is some D minus 2, but there is also some factors of D here. So at the left of this line, the flow lines are going to larger and larger M, so exponential suppression. But as you see, there is still a very wide range of parameters in which you will think that it's that the system will die and the system lives. And in all this region, not only you have life surviving, but you have life surviving in this particular way, in which there are these islands going around and adapting to the ever-changing environment. So. In a higher dimension, there are some values of the parameters in which things dies up. Moreover, the condition which I dismissed, like if it is not important, of having an infinite space, even in two dimensions, is a very stringent one, because it has to be a really, really very big space. And here is an example if for a certain range of parameters in which for a system which is 100 by 100, after the initial decay, in which the guys which are not in the right places die and only then the islands start forming, after that the system goes to infinity, the average of B. But for a 30 by 30 lattice with exactly the same parameters, you see the system essentially dies. So if you just make the simulations without knowing what the renormalization group is telling you, then you might think that there is a certain, maybe some phase transition here or something. But in fact, it's just the finiteness of the space. Moreover, as you see, there are still, even in the region in which increases, there are finite size effects. Here are some place in which some island which was very good disappeared, and then for a while the increase was slower, and then they found another island where it was good, and it went again quite fast, and eventually it gets faster and faster, of course. And these are the islands as they evolved. So this is what happens with mortal A's. With mortal A's, it starts to be very important what are the this effect which you are discussing starts being important. How much A's do I lose? Because you see, what is mortal A? Well, mortal A, it means that some of the A's have infinite velocity. So it's essentially your effect. And I'm replacing them by a rain of A, which keeps the density of A constant. But still, it's like I'm very much hurting this constancy of the.
Are you also raining A's down? Suppose you don't rain.
Then essentially you are left without A's. There are limits to how many miracles I can do. Even coming from the country I'm coming. So what is the interim conclusion of all this? That discretization leads to microscopic inhomogeneity. Even if you wait forever and you think that, okay, A's have filled the space as uniformly as they could, and this diffusion term takes care that I'm completely uniform, at a certain stage, all the diffusion can do is transform one microscopically inhomogeneous configuration to another microscopically inhomogeneous configuration, but it will not make it more homogeneous because it cannot split the A's. And moreover, if you have this kind of situation, which I would call autocatalytic, then that the B's are giving birth to B, this microscopic inhomogeneity is amplified exponentially and leads to the appearance of macroscopic collective objects, which they have for a while an identity and in space and time, and they have adaptive characters. You have to see the movies on the computer, how they travel to get better places, and there are some people which, after looking to the movie, they thought that these things have even cognitive capabilities, but of course, this is a matter of taste. So, I certainly don't have time now to go through the applications, and I even wasn't aware of it, but as I said, somebody wrote a popularization article, and then he went to some people to ask them if they have seen such things. So for instance, some of the biologists, one of them said something which was really very nice, because as you remember, two dimensions is a very special thing. And they said, yes, we found that microbes are found in bands at the appropriate oxygen Cartesian concentration, and that in fact we were asking ourselves what is so difficult for them to adapt themselves to a wider oxygen range of because each of them is adapted, so it might be that they have the ones which live in two dimensions were just more successful for these reasons, and also they confirmed this thing with the patches, with the existence of patches, and in fact some guys which studied desertification and Jerusalem exactly it's exactly at the border between desert and Mediterranean, so you would expect that the amount of naively the expectation would be that in the Mediterranean you get essentially maximal amount of organic matter in the soil, and in the desert you get zero, and in Jerusalem you will have something in the middle, and it's not like this. You you get I think I have a schematic. What you get is essentially that in the intermediate region between Mediterranean and desert, you have islands in which the vegetation has maximal value, like in the Mediterranean, and around it is essentially zero, like in the desert. So we are now trying to see in terms of the dynamics if it is also fits this, and also in the immune system, it turns out that it's related because after all the clone selection. It's exactly this that the anti-gems are essentially multiplying when they find in the shape space. I'm sorry, the antibody are multiplying when they find an antigen of that of their own shape. And in fact, in the case of AIDS, it's also the opposite. So we there is an article on that. In the left. Minutes. I would like to show to you something which is also a little bit surprising. It's not really field theory, but it's quite an interesting result. If you think now that the interactions are at arbitrary distance, and that essentially I it's like the location in space, but now every b at one I can get contribution from every b, no matter how far away. And then the, you have this the analog of A. There is some multiplicative factor here, but there is also some random factor which is coming from the fact that A are random. So and there is some general conditions, an arbitrary function of the of all the Bs. So this is essentially the eigen equations. Except that I have now a random random factor too, and you might think that there is not much to do about it, but actually, this is what I'm going to show in the remaining minutes of my talk. That in fact you can give a very precise yes. So actually, you can give a very precise solution of these equations of eigen, even in the presence of noise, and you can obtain the probability distributions of the size of the different populations. Even though naively you'd think that there is this arbitrary function of all the Bs, which makes the system unsolvable. Essentially, if you look at the relative populations at each site, then some miracle happens, which I guess that at this time nobody wants really to see in details how it happens. But essentially, this equation, which has a global dynamics, which is arbitrary, when you look at the relative populations of the sub, the size of the relative subpopulations, they are governed by a bunch of equations, which are in fact linear and time independent and decoupled, and in fact they are exactly solvable, and they lead to power laws, and indeed. The simulation is identical with the theory. Again, the system is very non-static. It's very complicated, but The dynamics are, it's arbitrary, but the distribution of the population, it's universal, it's a power law. And in fact, this was seen in the population of blood. First of all, it's seen all the time in population of people in towns and things like that, but also in blood cell counts lately. And from what I didn't study the data, but from what I know, also the number of species in genera are distributed by this power laws. And this equation was, this Lotka-Volterra eigen equations are the normal equations when which are supposed to govern the population dynamics, except that usually they are considered with this random term. With this random term, one gets the power laws. So I'm sorry that this last part probably was not very understandable. Thank you.
So your noise was participative?
Yes, yes. It's very important. Yes, yes, yes. It's also very important, this eigen term in which there is of cooperation, in which they are mutating one into the others. Without that, the power laws are less clear and less under control.
Someone asked earlier about the condition that there only be a finite number of EEs or a finite density.
Yes. Some of that? Yes, yes. Yes, I just didn't. The answer is that you get very interesting dynamics, and I'm going to show you now. If you essentially, the islands are still there, but you are since the islands are finite and since they are changing the position, you the population is forced from time to time to tunnel from one island, let's say from here to here. This is a time sequence. And you see the red places is there are places of large population.
That limited numbers of bees and so
yes.
As A is moving fast.
Yeah, but it's also b minus b squared. It's a limited the number of bees has a maximum. It's finite, and because of this, you get these fluctuations. Moreover, if you have a competition, this kind of competition, which is limiting b, if it is over an entire radius, these fluctuations are even larger because the islands are competing, and you cannot have too many islands, so there is less fluctuations between them. And in the limit in which everybody competes with everybody, the radius of competition, it's finite, which means that only the total population is finite, but not on each side. Then you get tremendous fluctuations in the population, which essentially amounts to having basically all the population dying from time to time. It's really a factor of two orders of magnitude. And this is actually, these transparencies were placed in my lecture before this last part, in which we had also diffusion, long range diffusion, in order to compensate for these effects. So species needs to have this kind of jumping at different genomic configurations in order to compensate for the fact that if you are sitting on just one single site, you will have this kind of situation. So it's also related with a niche, thing of niches. If you have an entire range of populations, all of them competing for the one niche, only one of them survives, and in the moment that one becomes unfit, then nobody survives. And okay, thank you.
Thank you.